I got a felony. Oh. I've actually never talked about this on the internet.
Really?
You will see Satan.
Did you see him?
I didn't see
He's
him.
He's right here. Charlie is showing shame.
I didn't get to shower or like do anything for 3 days.
Why are you looking at me when you say that?
Cheetahs are going extinct.
What? So crazy. I know a couple of cheetahs in the city.
You good?
So they're definitely not going extinct. What's going on, you little turkey sandwiches? If you haven't figured it out already, we have Charlie Jordan on the podcast.
Hi, guys. That was so cute. You just called them turkey sandwiches.
No, it gets worse. Like last week, we called them like cock rings and shit. Like, like anything.
Never mind.
anything you can imagine, we'll call it. But it's, it has to have like little in front of it. So it's kind of like
little
fun
chicken
and cute.
Nuggets.
Yeah, no, legit. Like any food you can think of. I think, what's the worst one we've ever done? Probably cock rings.
Cock rings is pretty steady too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like
you little cock. You just like say cat, it, cat say ring. Little, not yeah. Yeah. Cock.
Okay. So we have Charlie Jordan in. You're a DJ. You're an entrepreneur. you have OnlyFans.
Yes, I do.
I'm not subscribed. I should be.
yeah. What the fuck? Yeah.
What else are you doing?
So I've been doing social media since I was 17 years old. I jumped on Instagram when like the whole travel era was like a really big thing. Like,
damn,
Alexis Ren, Jay Alvarez sort of vibe.
Yeah.
That
Did
was
you have a little Jay Alvarez at the time?
No, actually. So I would just go meet up with people like in different places. So my whole family is Mormon and they didn't necessarily support what I was doing at first.
Mormon's the one with no lights, no electricity.
No, that's Amish.
That's Amish.
That's Amish.
Yeah.
Yes. Amish. What is Mormon?
The Mormon
mean?
Religion is like a branch of Christianity and it just has really intense rules. It's like an additional book and basically like my whole life I couldn't show my shoulders, I couldn't show my knees.
What?
I couldn't swear, I couldn't drink coffee, I couldn't drink tea. I was very, very conservative like my whole life. And then
what?
When I turned 18, I was just finally like, I'm over this shit. I was like,
Did you grow up in Utah?
I grew up in Vegas and Utah, yes.
Shit, what was that feeling like? Like, what was that feeling like when you first got your shoulder out?
Harry, you should
not
be Mormon.
Shoulder.
Mormons are allowed to have multiple wives.
I might have to.
Actually, that's polygamous. We're getting all deep into religion
What's
now.
What is polygamous?
So
is
polygamy is where they have multiple wives. Mormons do not have multiple wives.
So there's different religions now.
Yes.
And is there polygamous Mormons?
No.
Oh,
so
okay.
People
I'm
just confuse Mormons
up.
All the time with having multiple wives, but okay. It's because in the state of Utah, there's the Mormon religion and then polygamy. And
are you still Mormon?
Holy fuck.
I am not Mormon. I mean, technically, I'm still Mormon, but I'm not practicing.
I grew up in a cult, too, so I kind of like...
Oh, sick, yeah.
Damn.
Growing up in a cult is quite the time.
It's pretty badass. I like it.
It took years of getting out of it to, like, restructure my brain to normal, just, like...
Jesus.
I'm good, like, because I was so hard on myself about everything. Like, anytime I did anything wrong, I was like, I'm going to hell.
That's
but,
wild.
It started because I smoked weed, and it wasn't at all like what I was told.
The devil's lettuce.
Exactly.
How dare
They're
you,
They're like,
weed.
You are going to hell if you smoke this.
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da-da. They're like, you will see Satan. And
did you see him?
I didn't see
He's
him.
He's right here.
I'm like, shit, I gotta go, guys. So, but it changed my life. I struggled with anxiety and depression for a very long time.
Yeah.
And like self-harm actually like in high school. And when I started smoking weed, it was the only thing that really stopped my panic attacks.
Holy
and it's
shit.
Crazy because I saw Pete Davidson talking about this a little while ago. And I was like, I've actually never met anybody else who struggled with self-harm to stop panic attacks. Like I was never quote unquote like suicidal. I just couldn't stop my panic attacks. And I would talk to people about it. No one knew how to help.
Yeah.
And weed just like obviously calms you down a lot. So I smoked weed for the first time and started doing more of what I wanted. And the panic attacks kind of faded. And I just stepped way out of what I was raised with. And I actually got kicked out of my house. So I've been living on my own since I was like 17,
what
18.
What the fuck?
And I was homeless for like half a year and I just had a car. So I started doing road trips and those road trips led to travel content. So I would like drive to Colorado and Arizona and like all these beautiful, there's like Arches National Park and Zion and all these beautiful places. And I just had a phone and a car and I would shoot content.
Dream.
Yes, pretty much. But it was
bad.
Crazy because I was going on all these beautiful trips and I would come back to like actually being homeless. Like I would go to Turks and Caicos and post all these beautiful pictures and everyone's like, wow, your life.
Yeah.
And I'd come home and like didn't even have a bed to sleep in.
That's crazy.
And then at some point it became my full-time reality, which was incredible. I traveled the world for like 2.5 years and then settled down in LA, started 2 businesses. Now I'm working on music and DJing, and my life has completely changed because of social media.
Do we talk to mom and dad anymore?
Yes.
We're still good with them.
They came around, which was awesome. But at first, it was very hard. Like when you tell your parents, like, hey, I'm going to drop my D1 scholarship for track to pursue social media, they were like, the fuck? Like, and I understand. Like, I understand that sounded really scary. I got
it sounded very scary. So what, you dropped a D1 scholarship?
Yeah, so I had a full ride scholarship for track and field out here at Cal State Fullerton. I ran hurdles.
Hurdles? That's the hard one.
Yeah, that's the one we have to jump, yeah?
Yep. Fuck. Good times.
That's crazy. See, I can't even walk in a straight line, let alone DJ.
Oh, I'd love to see you do hurdles.
No. So bad. How did you realize that you were fast and you like to jump at the same time?
I played soccer for 10 years growing up.
Fuck you.
And after, I was convinced my parents just put me in sports all the time to get me out of the house. They were like, just go run. So I played soccer for 10 years and then started running track my freshman year. I did both of those sports for 3 years. And I was just way better at track than I was at soccer. But the cardio from soccer trained me for track. So when I came in, I was actually... my freshman year of high school, I was ranked number 6 in the United States for
hurdles. What?
Yeah.
Do you think
that's crazy?
Do you think being a competitive athlete helped you with social media, like
Absolutely.
Your work ethic and all that?
I think that sports is like the reason I am the way that I am. The work ethic. When I quit that scholarship, I was like, okay, I'm gonna put all the time and energy I would have put into doing this 4 years of running. Into, because I mean, it was intense. Like, I was on a club track team, regular track team, also playing soccer. I don't know if you know who Randall Cunningham is. He used to be the quarterback for the Eagles. He's an old NFL player, but he lives in Vegas and he has a club track team. And I was on his club track team. His daughter currently is actually just was in the Olympics for high jump. He's very intense. Like, I was doing like NFL style workouts, like pushing sleds, like doing, I was jacked. I was. I miss it. When I first came to LA, I got turned down by every modeling agency because they're like, you're too muscular. I was like,
really?
How the fuck am I supposed to lose muscle? It was like this whole thing. But you know, years later, I like, I'm
cocaine.
Still, yeah. They were like, smoke cigarettes and drink coffee and do drugs. I was like, you know, I'm good. I was like, I'll stick to Instagram.
Wow.
So all the modeling agencies were like, nah. So I just was like, I'll do it myself.
Damn.
So I did travel content. I actually didn't think I was like good looking at all because of how many modeling agencies turned me down. I was like, you know, I was like, I need to have an X factor here because clearly I don't look the way I'm supposed to look. So I was like, I'll do travel content.
That's
I was like, it's not really about me. It's about the background.
Better choice.
How did you transition from being the travel chick to just being an Instagram baddie? Taylor, don't kill me.
So I did the travel stuff and obviously at some point I was like, these people were fucking wrong because Wilhelmina reached back out to me. All these huge modeling agencies reached back out once I had like 1 million followers. And I was like, I was like, no.
Yeah, fuck you guys.
I was like, you can leave.
Yeah.
So I just kind of did my thing. And like, honestly, I became my own creative director. So like currently, like, you know, brands like Revolve, Boohoo, Aloe, like I've been working with them for like 3+ years where I'm like a creative director. So instead of me just being paid to be a model, I get paid, you know, X amount of dollars per month to go pick a location, to hire photographers, to hire makeup artists, hairstylists, and I get to shoot my own content.
That's way more fun.
Yeah. It's so much fun. And then they get to use that content for their Instagram, their website.
Oh, that's sick.
So I creative direct for all those brands.
Are you kind of thankful that those agencies like turned you down then? Because now you can be a bit more of a boss?
Yes. Modeling is incredible. Not trying to knock it at all. I support anyone who wants to do it.
She's throwing shade. Anyone who's a model.
Fuck that.
Charlie is throwing shade.
I think it's a very genetic, it's a genetic lottery. Like if you look a type of way already, go for it. But if you're trying to change yourself like drastically to fit some sort of beauty standard, I don't think you should.
I got turned down from every agency because they said I'm too tall.
And that makes no sense.
No, they said, they're like, oh, you're way too tall. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to be an airline host. And then they said you're too tall for that as well.
Wanted to be a...
Because I love traveling. So I was like, oh, it'd be so much easier. You get to pay. You get paid to go do it. And then none of that worked. And then I went on reality TV. Here we are.
Yeah. How did that happen? How did you land that show?
Bit of a sad story, to be
honest.
Sad? Yeah. The first show, sad story. Second show, just desperate for attention. And like no one wanted me, no one wanted to talk to me. So I was like, you know what, I'm gonna try and figure it out. But the
you found like your avenue, which is really cool, like your lane. Like, I mean, I feel like anyone who has to get into this space, like like how my story, right? Like everyone has a different story. There's not a way, like one way to get into it. And it's typically not the happiest of stories. It's like, yeah, I was really fucking struggling and then this amazing thing happened. So
yeah, no, you know. I think the for the first show that I was on, it was more of a like a whole bunch of bad shit happened to me at one time. And then I was like, I just need to change something because I'm not happy. Second show, I was like determined to be on Love Island UK because I have a UK passport. And I was like, I'm going to be the first like Australian. I'm going there, go crazy, blah, 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 blah. And then it was just the same people that were casting for both shows.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, you should come on this Netflix show. You sound like it'd be so much more fun for you. And I had no idea what it was. I just went in like all guns blazing. I was just like, well, I'm just going to have fun. But I was manifesting falling in love. That was the biggest thing that I did. And then I realized that like manifesting and all like heebie-jeebie stuff is like really true.
Yeah.
So then here we are, and then just trying to be and keep things moving.
Do you know Lucy Donnellan? Rose Donnellan? She's on Love Island.
She was meant to come on my show on Tour to Handle.
We switched.
We switched. So she was meant to be on Tour to Handle. I was meant to be on Love Island. And then she's like, nah, I'm going to go on Love Island. And then I'm like, well, I'm going to go on Tour to Handle. I had no idea who she was, but that's
so
random.
She's from Cornwall in like this little town in like, I don't even know where it is. It's like Britain, but her accent is like the thickest, strongest. She like has a boyfriend now, but I just didn't know if you knew her. She's
How
great.
Do you know her?
I went on a Boohoo trip with her, actually.
Really?
Yeah. You know, all the, when I did travel content, like Revolve and Boohoo used to consistently do those like trips like
everywhere.
I went to like Switzerland and France with Boohoo. Like we went skiing in the French Alps. Like it was incredible. But quarantine fucked everything up, guys.
Yeah, COVID fucked everything. Well, you're back to traveling now though, no?
Yes.
You're doing tours and stuff all over the country?
Yes.
Like every weekend? Every week?
Right now it was every weekend, but I started getting a little freaked out. Like I was it's hard.
No, it's so
really
much
fucking
work.
Hard. Like I, you know, there were days like even this past weekend. So like Thursday, I was in Tampa playing at Tangra. Friday, Chicago playing at Bounce Nightclub. Saturday playing in Vegas opening for DJ Snake. Like back to back to back. I didn't get to shower or like do anything for 3 days.
That's crazy.
Hey, guys.
Ho, 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 gentlemen. The holidays came early. I personally do come early sometimes.
Hell yeah, dude.
But here at Manscaped, the leading men's hygiene brand, Manscaped just launched new products, including their all-new ultra-premium body wash and 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner. It's time to give yourself or someone who needs it the gift of beautiful skin, hair, and balls this holiday season. Go to manscaped.com and use code TAPIN for 20% off plus free shipping. I have been using the body wash on my cock and balls.
Really? How's the smell?
Amazing. Smells awesome. Dude. I got the boys to smell my cock the other night. I was like, you got to check this shit out. It smells elegant. Smells
and they
delicious.
Were like, how do I get some of that?
And I'm like, go to manscaped.com, use code TAPIN, and get a fucking nice smelling cock.
The cool thing about Manscaped, like I know there's a lot of ladies that listen to this. It's the holiday season. Here's what I recommend. You get your dude some Manscaped, right?
Yeah.
All the products. And they're not like, they're the full man's grooming. Like they got the buzzers, they got the lawnmower 4.0, they
everything.
Got the 2-in-1 body wash, they got it's like all the men's grooming stuff, right? You get your dude some Manscaped.
Do it.
And then you're also getting yourself a gift because your dude doesn't have nasty
dangleberries.
Yeah, exactly.
Hangy fucking asshole hair.
Yeah.
The whole shit bang is going to be.
Yeah.
And the best thing is about taking care of yourself and feeling good or smelling good and looking good is you feel good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe your boy's a little bit down the dumps.
Yeah.
Tell him to trim his hairy asshole and then get the fuck back happy again.
Exactly. So, you know, it's like you're going to be around family and stuff like that.
Yeah,
like,
you know what about having a stinky crack?
Yeah. You know what if like you...
Around the kids.
Exactly. your new boyfriend's meeting your family for the first time.
Yeah.
And then picture this scenario. Your new boyfriend meets the family for the first time and he goes to shake your father's hand.
Yes.
And as he does, his shirt comes up just a little bit.
Yeah,
and some pubes are peeking out over his belt.
Protruding.
And your father thinks, this guy can't even take care of his ball hair. He's supposed to marry my daughter and raise our kids, and he can't even trim his pubes properly.
The amount of times I've had that conversation.
It's not good. No. So
You can avoid. How do they avoid that?
Look, if you want to avoid that exact situation this holiday season, get 20% off and free shipping with the code TAPIN at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code TAPIN. Clean up your nuts and make Santa proud this year.
Yeah, it's a fucking, it's a grind. And like the weekends, like that's when you're able to play. Like, I don't want to play on a Wednesday. Like, no one's going to the club on a Wednesday unless you're living in LA. So every weekend it's like, I'm doing these tours.
How do you stay
like these
fit
weekend
then,
runs
as well?
So when I come back into town, honestly, the first month I was not working out at all. Like, I would come into town and I wouldn't be alive for 2 or 3 days. So basically what would happen is I would go out of town, play 3 days in a row, come home, need like 2 to 3 days to recover. And then I would have 2 days left in the week to finally be able to like want to see people, want to talk to people, want to go out. And during that time, I was like just trying to catch up on work stuff. So then I wasn't seeing anyone. Like, I wasn't seeing my friends for like months at a time. Like, I would see my close friends like a couple times a month. But this is the busiest I've ever been in my life, and I feel like I fucked around for a couple years. Like, I had my fuck around time, like, when I lived out here, and even when I was traveling. Like, traveling is incredible, and I love making travel content, but you don't get shit done when you're across the world. So, like, buckling down here and, like, having those two businesses, Beauty and Pain and Smoke Roses. Smoke Roses is organic rose petal joint papers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so there's no weed in it. Like, I don't sell cannabis. It's just smoking, like, papers. But they're organic, pesticide-free, dye-free. In my opinion, they're the healthiest thing you can smoke on the market, and no one else has ever made them. It's a completely original product.
Wow.
So to have an original idea was like, I was like, that's crazy. I spent a year trying to make that product. You know, finally got it trademarked and patented, and it's all good now. So that's awesome. And then...
Yeah, what's the other one?
It's like being like a leading forefront person in like the cannabis community, also being a female. There's not that many female cannabis-owned brands. And then my clothing line slash jewelry line, Beauty and Pain, is all centered around that story of like how I used to struggle with mental health. Still struggle with it, but the self-harm stuff. Like, I have this tattoo right here.
Yeah.
And I made it into a necklace and earrings.
I've seen you wear it. Yes. I've seen you wear it on TikTok as well.
You need to send me your address so I can send you 100%. Some, please.
Yeah, I'll text you.
But yeah, it's really cool because it provokes that conversation of being able to talk about real shit. People who are wearing the necklace, like, I've seen different people wearing the necklace, like, walk up to each other and start talking about mental health, come up to me and start talking about mental health, and that's it provokes a real conversation instead of, where are you from? What did you do today? you know, like the same like day-to-day shit.
That's dope.
So I want people to feel like it's a safe space and like a community of people that can relate on that stuff. Because that's the whole reason I even got into the internet in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, you post something and people are like, me too. And you're like, oh, that's sick. I'm not alone.
Yeah. Do you find like, are these your first two businesses?
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Yeah. So I was promoting other people's companies for so long.
Yeah.
And honestly, the amount of product I'm able to sell through my following, because I have a little bit of like a cult following because I've been doing it for so long, like 4 or 5 years. Like, there's people that I meet them and they're like, know everything about me from like beginning to end. And I'm like,
it's this guy right here.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah, I know everything.
Super fan.
Yeah, hey, what's up? How's it going?
What's up?
No, because the biggest thing that I realized with business is the best thing to do is like to start a company that you're like actually passionate about the products. Like, I started a sunglass brand, and I've never worn sunglasses in my life.
See, yeah.
And it literally sucked. Like, it still cranks. Like, it does. It's a little bit better now. But, like, when we first started it, that's why I asked if it was your first business, because my first one was just, like, I just wanted to make money and try and figure it out.
Of course.
Was it hard, the whole process of trying to figure it out by yourself?
So I'm 50-50 with actually not my last ex, but the ex before. I'm 50-50 with him on
who
that.
Is that?
His name is Robert Graham. He was on The Bachelor, like, early on in The Bachelor, and we dated for 3 years, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we were together for a while.
In L.A.?
Mm-hmm.
That's unheard of.
Yeah, it just wasn't a public...
L.A. in 3 years, like, 60 years in other people's time.
Yeah, it's two marriages in L.A.
Yeah, wow.
Sure. Yeah.
Definitely, like, the healthiest relationship I've ever had.
And you guys are still good now?
Yeah, we're still friends. He's awesome.
Wow.
There was a bit of, like, a age gap, and that kind of ended up being the problem that made it not work out, but we still run the company together. He's fucking awesome, and so we're friends. You know, we have dog play dates because we have the same dog. So we'll see each other every once in a while. But
yeah,
I am 50-50 with him on that. So that was super helpful, like having someone who he's been out here for like 10 years. So he knows the ins and outs and intricacies of the back end of the business, you know, like from the Shopify to getting the website set up.
Yeah.
I do all of the creative direction, design, and marketing for the company. Sick. So it's all organic. Through my Instagram, I've never paid for anything as far as like advertising goes. I'm a big believer in organic marketing, influencer marketing. That's like how I've built both my companies. Like I've never had to pay other people to promote them. I've never had to go out of my way to do something that's like unnatural. And people do that all the time, like still like with Facebook ads and like this and this. Like I do believe those things are efficient to some point, but there's so many brands, so many products.
It's a bit hard if you don't Charlie Jordan.
Well, like, dude, I mean, I could easily just like slap my name on a fucking t-shirt, which is what everybody else does, and like, white label a product, which is when you
are looking at me when you say that.
No, I mean, well, no, with the sunglasses, right? Like, that's not something.
That was
was that your idea?
No.
Exactly.
It was my best friend's.
And so many people, that happens to so many of my friends.
Yeah.
Their manager, their team, there's someone that'll be like, you should start a singing career. You should start this brand. And then they convince them that it's a good idea.
Yeah.
And then you spend months releasing this product that you don't even really care about.
You're not passionate. Yeah.
Yeah. And unless you were wearing that shit every single day or talking, like I smoke every day. So I was like, smoking product.
Wow.
I have this tattooed on my freaking arm. I was like, I should probably make a jewelry line around it. So that is super important. And
what
I don't know.
What are the other tattoos that you got on the square ones?
Oh, yeah. Do you have any tattoos?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Where?
No. Okay. I'm getting these removed. These ones, that with my ex, that when I was depressed, that with my old best friend.
They're good stories.
Committed suicide. That with another girl. That with like 8 other people. Then Todd on my lip.
Damn.
Then elephants never forget not on my bum, which doesn't make any sense. It's in Arabic. And then another tattoo on my leg. What about you? You got heaps.
I do. I can't even explain all of these, but there's a bajillion. These are my 2 favorite movie or book quotes.
Yeah.
From my 2 favorite books. This is Smoke Roses. This vine signifies growth. I have this one for the beauty and pain.
Damn.
These are, I just love art. So I've drawn all my own tattoos. Pretty sure you can't find them anywhere else or on anyone else.
Yeah.
This one says good girl with flowers. I saw this in a paint in an art gallery in Texas and I redrew it. And then my brand, I have so many on my hand now. Like my whole hand is just filled up. I used to work with animals a lot. So all the traveling trips that I did was mostly to third world countries, and I would partner up with tourism boards and charity groups, mostly in places that had natural disasters, so like places like Turks and Caicos and the Dominican Republic, South Africa, or developing countries. Can't say third world countries anymore. But they're all developing countries, and I would partner up with animal groups, like in South Africa, cheetahs are going extinct.
What?
So
really?
Isn't that crazy?
I know a couple of cheetahs in the city. <You good? laughs> So they're definitely not going extinct. That's for sure.
Well, I've seen a couple, so.
Yeah. They're out and about. They're all out.
Dude, LA, we were just talking about this. LA is fucking rough out here.
No, that's what I was going to say. How do you keep a solid relationship with your ex? Because I fucking struggle with that shit. They will hate me.
Well, people out here, it's like fucking high school. Like, I've honestly, from the traveling stuff, coming out to LA was really hard for me.
Right.
It's a lot. I'm like, I thought we were past this. I thought we moved on. I thought we were grown. Like, people really want to talk about other people's relationships. I'm like, it's none of your fucking business. Yeah. Like, you can do whatever you want and whatever makes you happy. Like, some people are happy with monogamy. Some people aren't.
What are you happy with?
I am a one-person person. So I definitely, like, I really like getting to, like, the root of things and knowing things, like, deeply. On any level, whether it's a person or a product or my work, myself. So yeah, I really enjoy getting to know one person on like a deep level.
Are you seeing anyone now?
I'm not.
Ah.
Single.
Lads. Ladies.
Hey, I'm a one person too.
Yeah, safe. We all are.
But are we?
I am. If I find, why are you looking at me like that? No, here's the thing. I feel like once I'm with someone, I'm locked in, but then it's also just like, they usually hate me after a month.
No.
Yeah.
You see, like, that's the thing. Like, everyone's like, I want a person to make me feel a type of way. And unconditional love, loving someone is not, this person makes me feel good and I like this person because of this and this. It's, I love you regardless of who you are and what your decisions are, and I want the best for you no matter what. And that is, everyone out here is very selfish. It's like selfish love. It's, I want a boyfriend, I want a girlfriend, like someone to like fill a role.
Right.
Versus, I just love this person. This person's my best friend.
Yeah, I want someone to fold my washing.
Would you?
Anyone come fold my washing? Fill this role.
All the girls just sprinted away from me. No, no. They're like, I'm good.
No, I
that's for your mama.
But every time I tried, like, see a girl, I'm like, oh, I'm just trying to look for a best friend that I can, like, take traveling. And they're like, okay, cool. Like, take me to, like, Dubai. I'm like, no. Like, we just met, bro.
Yeah,
like,
you can't be
I'll
doing
take
that.
You to Palm Springs.
Yeah.
And then we hate each other.
I bet.
Dude, I like...
At least you're close to LA, so if you need to get out, you can just be like, I gotta leave.
I like taking girls on trips on, like, a first or second date, but that's not because, like...
What?
No, like a desert trip or something. You know what I mean? Like, if I know
like,
the
this
girl,
is where I'm going to dump the body.
But it sometimes gets miscommunicated. It's like, oh, like, you're coming on too strong. I'm like, no, I want to go do a fun thing. Like, I just want someone to cruise with.
Yeah,
you know?
This is not annoying.
Yeah.
Because out here in LA, there's, like, no such thing as dates. I can't remember the last time I got asked on a date. It's like, hey, I'm already doing this. Like, want to come hang out? And it's always just
I feel like that's less confrontational. Like, if okay, Charlie... Okay, let me put this. You're not just some ordinary girl, right? So, like, if a dude is, like, going to be DMing you, they're not going to be like, oh, should we go, like, hot air balloon or should we go do this? They're going to be like, oh, I'm actually already going to do this. Like, it hurts a lot less when you say no. If I'm just like, I'm going to go do this.
That's true.
There I go on dates. I'm old school.
But because
dude.
I'm not.
I
no,
open the door.
I'd be
shot. Yeah.
Like, okay, like, if you're just friends for the first while, like, of course, you got kicking it. Like, the first month two, like, let's just go hang out with the homies. But after that,
oh, are you saying so they're taking you like with home, like their friends and
yes.
shit? Oh,
like,
okay, no, that's
like
so
when
good.
It's like, hey, I'm already going like with the homies. Like, I just so way too many situations where I literally got told like by this guy, like, hey, let's go on a date. Like, we'll go get milkshakes. Like, he had this like whole cute thing planned
that's
out.
Fun.
Show up, he's already like half drunk with all of his friends at a table.
How do you get drunk off milkshakes?
He didn't No milkshakes were included in this whole situation. I was like, why'd you even talk about milkshakes? I really just wanted a milkshake.
Yeah, I would have been so down for a milkshake.
So this whole situation happened and I left. No milkshakes were required. I went and got one by myself, went home. I was like, that was the worst date ever.
Damn.
That sucks.
No, but I mean, people are just like, want people to come along on their shit and be a part of their shit because everyone's trying to do shit out here. I'm like, you gotta have deviated time, like separate work and personal and like make time for people to really get to know them, because you can't get to know people when there's like 10 people in a group and everyone's just making jokes the whole time. You know?
And they're just talking to their friends.
Yeah, just talking shit, which is so fun. I love that too, but not all the time.
Yeah, it's hard to get to know someone as well.
Yeah.
Are you a homebody now that when you're in LA or
mm-hmm.
really?
Yes.
You're locked in.
Yeah, I like staying home. I get shit done. Like, I got so much to do, and people are out. Like, I love hanging out with my friends, and I love going out. But, again, like, you can't get shit done when you're doing that. So there's, like, the socialite side of LA, which I do see its values and its benefits. Like, people that thrive off of, like, exposure from the paparazzi and going out and doing that. But I'm not a big drinker, and it's really hard to go out when you're sober. Like, I'm just like...
Yeah.
Around people that are drunk, and I'm like, it'll be like literally 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and people are like falling over.
I don't get it. No, it's actually really played. Like, when I first moved to LA, and when everything was kind of popping off for me, like, I was out probably like 3 or 4 nights a week, like, oh my God, this is crazy. And then, like, literally after a couple months, I was like, why is everyone not doing fun shit? Like, everyone's just like staying the same. Going out every night, and it's like boring. It's so played, eating shit, not training.
Can we plan something that's like a fun event?
I want to.
Because all the events here, you show up and it's like there's a bar and a step and repeat, and that's it. And I'm like, okay, we need to have some like water slides.
Yeah.
We need to have some like competitions. Like, I'm a very competitive athletic
some
person.
Do like a beach
day. No. Oh, yeah. We'll do some ayahuasca.
Have you done ayahuasca?
No.
I'm doing it.
Are you?
I'm doing it at the end of the year.
That's exciting.
So I'm doing.
Have you done research on it?
No, I'm not thinking about it.
Okay.
So we had a guy on our podcast, this guy called David Katz,
mm-hmm.
and he was explaining about his like process with it. He's very successful in the business world, and then they invited me, and I was like, shit, like, I guess. And then I was talking to a few friends about it. It's not like I'm not going there to get whacked and like talk to a tree for a month or like a couple days. Like, it's like full about like. So I was asking this dude about it because it's like a whole like application process. They have to make sure you're like a good fit, you're a good dude.
and there's, you have to eat like special foods and shit. You're not meant to have sex for, like, 2 weeks or something, which is awesome.
Good luck,
like
Harry.
Nah, it's just like another normal day for me. But they're fully like, it's about like realizing shit and your purpose. So I'm kind of like excited.
Yeah, you should definitely do some research on it. No. Not overthinking it, but there's a documentary on Netflix that fully describes the experience of ayahuasca. And I think it's good to know so that you're not blindsided. I have a lot of friends who've done ayahuasca.
Would you ever do it?
I almost did ayahuasca. I didn't do it because I don't feel like I need to know those things right now.
Right.
I feel like when I die, I will understand those things. Because what it is it's DMT, which is basically released in your brain when you're born and when you die.
People think, when you sleep.
Yes. And it's found in every living thing on this planet, but you can only extract it from the ayahuasca root, which is what you're going to consume. Yeah. But yeah, it's like a 12-hour process, and like you get really, really sick before, like you throw up.
That's what they told me. Some people.
If you do it right, it should happen. Like
I just want to go find out about the pyramids.
But like I know homies that have like come back from that and been a completely different person. So like if you're looking to change yourself completely, definitely.
I'm trying not to be a piece of shit.
Okay, then maybe go use some ayahuasca. Like people that are supposed to take ayahuasca, it's been used for people that have like PTSD and like severe heroin addictions and like people that really can't. He's like, what are heroin you addicted addiction. To? What are you addicted to, Harry?
Heroin addiction, I mean.
You know what I love more than a Black Friday sale?
Parade underwear?
Yes, I fucking love Parade!
Oh my God, I love... Girls, keep... Ladies, keep buying Parade so we can keep doing these ads.
Please.
Because I like promoting this company.
We love Parade.
They're sick.
And we love your pussies in Parade.
If you haven't bought any Parade yet, you waited for the right time. Because it's Black Friday. You know the deal.
And that's exactly right. Black Friday. And we're giving you early access. Exclusive.
So today they can get it.
Today you can fucking hop on board before anyone else. You can be looking good in the bralettes, the creative basics, anything before anyone else. You could even get it before Christmas.
Yeah. Get your Black Friday stuff now, right?
Yeah.
And on Black Friday, that way you don't have to be running around the mall, elbowing an old lady in the face to get a TV. Buy sustainable, good, healthy underwear instead of going out on Black Friday and blowing all your money on some stuff.
Up old ladies.
Yeah. We got the waffle collection. That's you what heard I was about say. It last week.
Last week just come out cozy waffle collection. So it's getting a little bit colder. You want to make those buns a little bit warm. Now is your time. And we have more savings for you. And it's Black Friday. So go to yourparade.com/tap in to check out 30% off site-wide discounts on all your favorite styles and free 2-day shipping and return. So that means you're going to get it
unreal
before Black Friday.
Yeah, that's a really good deal.
So you could just double dip.
Yeah.
And just fucking get the whole collection.
Stock up for the year.
Fuck it.
Buy some gifts.
Yeah, go crazy. Go Christmas nuts. Is around the corner. Get your mom some nice knickers.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Get her looking good.
When I was a kid, I used to hate getting socks and underwear in my stuffers or whatever that thing whatever that thing's
big
called.
Sock.
Yeah, that big sock. But now I'd be freaking pumped, dude.
If I opened that juicy little sock and I saw the waffle collection from your parade, I'd probably cream in my pants.
If I ever hook up with a girl and she starts taking her clothes off and she's wearing Parade underwear, I'm gonna be like, wait, you're a podcast fan?
Yeah.
That's amazing. It's like a bonding experience,
and we'd get her pregnant.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time.
100%. And there you go, guys. Again, if you want some early discounts, go to yourparade.com/tap in. 30% off site-wide. Site-wide. And free 2-day shipping and returns.
That's badass.
Get in there. Get horny.
One of my friends was like a gambling addict. You can be a sex addict. That's a thing that happens.
Fuck.
What are you trying to cleanse yourself of, Harry?
No, Harrison? I just want to learn more about...
is your name Harrison?
Yes.
Yes!
no, I'm just trying to... I think I'm just trying to learn more about my purpose. That was the biggest thing. Like, when I first... it's kind of crazy. We always talk about, like, mental health on here and, like, suicide. There's an episode that we just had come out where this guy jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge and he survived, and we had a whole, like, conversation with him about it.
I actually heard about that.
Yeah, he has the best laugh. Like we kept cracking jokes about his like story because we just couldn't stop making him laugh because it literally made me feel so happy.
Yeah, he had the jolliest laugh and he's talking about like the moment before he jumps off the bridge and we're just like talking shit.
It's always people like that though that are like, they spread the most joy and they're like sad on the inside. I'm like, fuck.
No, he's such a sweetheart. Then we had dinner with him and his posse and that like everyone was just like funny, like lovely people.
I love that.
But I'm pretty much just going in to like figure out like what am I like meant to do here? Like am I meant to just continue to be a cockhead on the internet and like people to like look at me?
But why do you like, I've even noticed in the past 20 minutes we've been sitting here like you refer to yourself as these things, but
because you set the bar low.
But do you believe that you are that person, or are you just going based off of what people have said online? Because those people don't know you, so they can say whatever the fuck they want. But I wouldn't say that you're like that. Every time I've talked to you and been with you, you're very nice, very kind person. Well, so you being like, I'm a cockhead, I'm this and this, like, you don't want to think that about yourself, you know?
No, you set the bar low and then they really impress people.
But especially if you believe in like all that manifesting, right?
Yeah.
He's going to be all like, deep and he's like, nah.
It's subconscious programming.
Yeah, true. Okay, well, I'm going to stop
compliment yourself.
Yeah, I'm a 10 out of 10.
You guys, I'm the workhorse. Best. I'm great.
I want to go back to the Mormon stuff. I have so many questions. So were your parents like deathly afraid of coffee? Like, like is that how you got kicked out? Like what happened?
No, it was from smoking weed.
Oh, okay. So they're legitimate. How did they find you smoking weed? Was it the scariest moment of your life?
I got a felony. I've actually never talked about this on the internet.
Really? You got a felony?
I got a felony. Woo! Yeah. Woo! 2 weeks after I turned 18, so it was on my permanent record.
Oh,
yay.
No.
Such bad timing.
Wow.
I was like sneaking around my senior year, just kind of like stepping outside of what I had been raised with. And. Yeah. You know, I was starting to smoke weed, whatever. And I was driving somewhere for spring break and I had weed in my car.
Damn.
Got pulled over for speeding. Cop smelled the weed in the car. He's like, I have probable cause to search your shit. He looked through the whole car. I hit it before he looked through the car and I lied and said that I didn't have weed in the car. He asked me. I was like, no, because I knew I hit it.
Yeah.
And then my ex was like, told the truth and was like, yeah, there's weed in the car. So he searched it twice.
What a snitch.
Didn't find it. So if he hadn't said shit, he would have just gone on his merry way, but he didn't find it. And then he came up to me. He's like, your boyfriend told me that you have weed in the car, so I know that it's in there. Just tell me where it is.
Damn.
Told him where it was. He found it. I got charged $1,500 for 2 grams of weed. an additional $1,500. So a total of $3,000 for an apple pipe.
Wow.
And then I got a year of probation.
Informal
probation.
Wow, you're a criminal.
And they tried to take away my driver's license.
Wow.
Mormon-ass cop. Super fucking biased. Lectured me for like half an hour about, he's like, you're throwing your life away, you have a track scholarship. I was like, you're not my dad.
Yeah.
Give me the fucking ticket and leave.
And give me the apple back.
Yes. Yeah. I was like, I'll eat it.
Please.
And then
did you dump that boyfriend?
Yeah.
What a little snitch.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Not because of that, but we got back and I didn't know that when you get a ticket, they send you like things in the mail being like, you need an attorney, like da 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 da. So I was like, I'm just not gonna tell my parents. I was like, I'll figure this out on my own. My mom is an attorney and both my parents are attorneys. Very hard to hide anything from them. Growing up arguing, like even if they were completely wrong, they knew how to argue their point to be right. So it was very, very frustrating.
Are you a great arguer as well?
Yes.
Sick. That's awesome.
My mom always said this so bad. She's like, the first person to show emotion loses. That's literally what she told me my whole life.
No, it's so true though.
So that's when I argue, I'm very calm.
Really?
Because I think that when you get angry and like...
So you're hard to gaslight, huh?
Oh my God. I just sit there and I'm like, this is funny. Like I just am like, I don't know. I feel like I am like very, not removed in arguments, but... I just want to figure shit out. I'm like, I'm not here to fight with you.
Yeah, so
I don't
boring.
Think that your opinion's invalid. I'm like, I care about your feelings because I care about you as a person, and I'll hear you out, and I'll apologize, not because I think that what I did was wrong, but because I'm sorry that I hurt your feelings because I care about you. So when it's like the he said, she said, no, this happened, and no, I'm right, this happened, I'm just like, you could literally do this for hours.
Yeah.
It's boring. It's so backwards.
I used to avoid conflict and arguing, and then I realized you can actually strengthen your relationship through arguing if you do it in a productive manner.
That's the make or break part of any relationship, I think, is communication.
Screaming in their face. It's actually fun.
Yes.
Dude.
Yeah. That will break it, faux show. That is bad.
So then, did it feel like your world was crashing when your parents found out? Like, did they fully...
Yeah.
That was the moment they kicked you out? Or did they wait till you went through court first?
It was that and a culmination of a bunch of other stuff. And, like, that was just the cherry on top of already being unhappy living in my house for years and years. I'm the oldest of seven kids.
Seven?
Mm-hmm.
Is there parents are very happy with each other?
Is there like day to day Mormon like rituals and stuff that you would do?
Do you have to wear any like fun clothes or anything?
Yeah, so when you get married in the Mormon church, you have to wear garments, which are like it's basically an under t-shirt and under shorts. So like you can't wear clothes that are shorter than those garments.
Oh, that's so boring.
And then when you get married, you're like, let me see them elbows.
Yeah,
now,
they're
baby.
Like, damn. But you know what fucked me up? And I actually talk about this on my OnlyFans. So I use my OnlyFans as a way to talk about taboo topics that you can't talk about on the internet, like religion and sex and all these other things. But when I came out of the Mormon religion, I, like, was so uncomfortable with myself, just, like, in general, and so unconfident. Yeah. I, like, could not finish for, like, years. Like, it was impossible for me. Like,
really?
I literally thought the angels were gonna, like, ascend from the sky the first time I had sex. And, like, it was just so, the expectations that they set in that whole religion are so ridiculous. And, like, so many other girls that are from very strict religions like that also struggle with that problem.
Really?
I noticed there's a little residual there because you said finished.
What?
You said finish.
Yeah.
What do you mean by finish?
Like I could not orgasm.
Come. Yeah, exactly. Most people say come, and you said finish. So there's still a residual.
Yes, amount. I get a little bit uncomfortable.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So they fully like instilled some like mental barrier that you're just like, can't break it down.
I wasn't even comfortable showing my shoulders. Imagine being naked.
Wow.
I couldn't do it in front of girls. I couldn't do it in front of guys. Like none of my family members. Like my family is so closed off and like to themselves. Like there was just no communication.
Great. I had the opposite childhood. Like I was walking around naked everywhere.
That's amazing.
Like my whole family would be like in the pool, just like naked. Everyone just didn't give a fuck.
Yeah. When I was super young, but like as I got older and especially when my mom had more kids, like, you know, like I was like 18, I was like a built-in babysitter. So I just took care of kids. I definitely, because of that, want to wait a long time to have kids. But when I do have kids, I got that shit on lock.
Damn.
Ready.
Hell yeah.
So how did you get past that mental barrier to finish, like, now? Like, what was the moment where you just like, you know what?
Sex toys.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I was just very uncomfortable with myself. So it took myself getting past my own mental barriers to be able to do that. Like, guys would try. I was like, hey, forever. Like, you know.
I can see you sweating. They're twitching an eye. They're like,
they're trying so, and they'd make them feel bad. And then they, you know, after the first or second, third time, they would start getting frustrated at me. And I was like, that's not fair. Like, and then I was made to feel like I was weird and I had a problem, which made it even worse. I just went and bought some sex toys and figured it out myself. And once I figured out what I like and what felt comfortable to me, it was a lot easier to tell guys, like, hey, like, don't do this, do this, like, being more specific. Because I think I was just, like, laying there. Like, I literally was just, I, like, didn't
just
know what to do.
Confused and thinking about it.
Pretty much.
Now
like,
you
just
can give them the cheat codes.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, let's figure this out. Because it's practice, makes perfect, like anything else.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I can't believe in that religion. It's like, no sex before marriage. I was told I couldn't passionately kiss before marriage.
Really?
Like, I couldn't even, like, make out. You can't, like, make out with people.
What?
Yeah.
This is stressful.
Yeah, it was very stressful.
Like hell.
I knew I was not going to be Mormon because, like, the first time I kissed a guy, I was like, I like this.
Do you think there's some benefit to, like, some level of conservatism in the spectrum? Because, like, society's gone, like, full sexually open. Is there any benefit to, like, finding some medium ground where you're not, like, L.A. heathens, but you're also, like...
Absolutely. The whole morals from that religion also made me who I am.
And yeah, like what's some good stuff that came out of it?
And it's still amazing.
And there's lots of good stuff.
The Mormon community, the people are the nicest people I've ever met in my entire life. They're all about charity work and giving back and family. So it's an incredible religion, I think, for families, but for young adults, it's very, very confusing because they don't talk about a lot of stuff. So the positive that came from that was just literally the morals and values of who I am as a person. Treat other people how you want to be treated. You know, love thy neighbor, like anything like that. You know, reading the Bible and everything growing up, like it changed my life. So I think I would maybe go back maybe at some point, like when I do have a family. But I don't have a problem with the religion. I have a problem with the culture and the people in it.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Like in Vegas, great. Loved the Mormon community.
Sounds like
there.
A weird place to have like a Mormon community in Vegas. Like Vegas is
so ironic.
It's fucking crazy.
Doesn't make any sense. But then in Utah, it's very cultish, very like everyone is Mormon. So it's like when you do something wrong, like the problem with that religion, the main thing that it's sexist. I was being raised to have kids when I was like 19, 18, like
really?
The women cook for all the men in the church. They don't have any roles of position.
Oh, so it's not all bad.
I was chilling, but the men treat the women incredibly. So I was like, you know, whatever. But the main thing for me is that it just breeds compulsive liars. Like girls be getting pregnant when they're 16. Oh, I can't tell my parents. And then something bad happens. Or kids are doing drugs and they can't be transparent with their parents.
Right.
And they lie to them. When I moved to Utah, I would show up to school and then like half the room was on Xanax. They're like, yeah, I stole my grandma's perks, like my grandma's Xans.
So just like raise rebellious kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
Every kid is rebellious, but not being able to talk to your parents about it or go to them for advice or guidance leaves these kids in the fucking blind. Utah has one of the biggest opiate drug addiction problems in
the
United States.
How the fuck? Really?
And they probably don't know about safe sex and like all that.
They don't know anything
because
no one talks about it. So all this terrible shit happens all the time. If that didn't exist, you know, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But the religion's great, honestly. But I just think cult plus time equals religion. Anything that has to do with money, like the Mormon church has a lot of money. All these churches have a lot of money. It's like tithing and you have to pay like whatever. I just don't believe in that. I think you can have your own relationship with God. So that's what I do.
Wow.
Were you raised religious?
No, not at all.
Nothing?
Like the opposite. My parents wanted... They told us that they didn't want us to believe anything until we're 18 and make up our own minds.
That is great.
Because they grew up with like having like Christianity like forced on them. Like you have to go to church. This is what you have to believe and this is what you have to go through.
Did you ever explore?
No, not at all. Like growing up, like there was obviously like church classes and stuff at school. And I was like, that just sounds boring to me. Like 2 hours, like sitting down, listening to some like old man talk in a robe. I'm chilling. Like I just want to go outside and like fuck around. So I pretty much just like I never really believed in anything until like until I got like sad at some point. Like I really was just like, and then I still started like manifesting and I'm like, I know there's like a higher being, I just don't know what it is, and I just believe that just like this shit, like I just believe that shit happens, you just have to manifest it and whatever. But
yeah, the world's pretty random. That's one thing I learned too, is a lot of religions, people trying to make themselves feel comfortable with death or fear or sadness.
I think that was the biggest thing, is just like making myself like, because I was always afraid of it. Like I remember when I was a kid, I'd say to my mom, like, I'm so scared about dying and stuff like that. And she's like, don't worry, you've got more time than me. I'm like, Mom, well, that doesn't help, you sausage.
When you take like any religion, you remove the actual human element of it. Yeah. It's all the same.
It's all the same.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've been to church home out here in LA, but if you're ever looking for like a good intro into Christianity, which there's so many branches of it, so many different things, but Church Home is Judah Smith, and he's the one, like, Justin Bieber goes. No, he's a pastor.
Oh fuck. But, I was like, that sounds like a great rap name.
Judah Smith. It was crazy when I first came here, coming from a very intense religion. I was like, this is weird. I was like, Justin Bieber showing up to this church, Lana Del Rey, like, all these, like, huge celebrities. But it's this giant auditorium, and he's one of the best.
Oh, I've been there before.
Yes.
Yeah.
One of the best speakers I've just ever met in my life. Like, he translates the Bible into, like, modern-day problems very, very well. He talks about, like, social media and fame, because he's catering to people that struggle with that stuff a lot. So check it out if you ever want to go. It's cool. We can go together. Should we all go?
Let's do it.
I'm down.
I grew up on an off-grid religious commune, like, in the woods.
Wait, for real?
Yeah, for real.
What was it called?
Hare Krishna. It was pretty badass.
Explain.
It's crazy. He went back recently.
Yeah, I go back all the time.
Yeah, he got like 5 people pregnant, and then he's back here.
He's like, I gotta go check out my kids.
No, I go back all the time. It's amazing. I love it there.
Where?
It's like in northern British Columbia, Canada. It's like the most beautiful place.
Is that
on
where
Earth.
You're from?
Yeah.
Where in Canada?
British Columbia, yeah.
Yeah. I love Canada.
It's
have
like
you been?
In the mountains, dirt roads, like giant cliffs and sunsets and lakes and water. It's unreal.
I'm from Vegas. There's like nothing there. It's hot. There's desert. When I started traveling, I was like, I got gypped growing up. You're from fucking Australia. There's like oceans and shit.
No, Australia's beautiful. I can't wait to go back. I've been home in 2 years. All my friends are asking me, like, when are you going to come back? Like, what are you going to do? I'm just like, well, it's just
quarantine.
Well, it's just, I just can't do 2 weeks in a hotel. Like, I will lose my mind.
What about your family?
I can FaceTime them.
Yeah, how are you and your family?
Terrible.
Oh.
The worst. I'm only close to my mom and one of my sisters.
It's like, okay, I feel you.
The rest of them are just little silly sausages. I was actually going to send my brother some money the other day. And then I'm like, oh, no, you suck. I was like laying in bed. I was like, you know what? I haven't spoken to this fucker in a couple years. Maybe I'll just send him some money to, like, you know, make amends.
Family.
And then I'm like, nah, you actually
can't pick him.
Yeah.
I haven't talked to my dad for 3 years, so I feel you.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Are your parents still together? They're done.
My parents got divorced when I was three. They both got remarried, both had more kids. I was the first kid from the first.
That is a big litter of kids.
Yes, yes. That's why there's seven. So I feel like they kind of like got remarried, moved on, had their families, and then I'm just out here and I'm like, hey guys.
Just doing, yeah.
Just figuring it out.
So you're close with mom? No?
I'm not really close with any of my parents, but
really?
I stay close. Like I love my siblings.
Yeah.
They're like my kids. So I stay close to my family for that reason.
Yeah.
I've been working on my relationship with my parents, but
it's hard, huh?
It is really hard. So yeah. I feel you.
Yeah, I'm not close to my dad at all.
Yeah, because they don't change. Like you think like, oh, maybe they'll change. They don't.
Yeah.
Well, my problem is that my parents have changed so much from when I met them because when I was like born.
I was like, what?
I got acquainted.
Yeah.
They were like 22 when they had me. When I think about that, that's how old I am now.
You're 22?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. How old did you think I was?
Like 25, 26?
No.
You just seem more mature.
I'm an old lady, guys.
Wow.
You heard it here
first.
I
thought you were older just because of the timeline of things. You're like,
yeah,
just the amount of stuff you've
done.
There's
a lot that's going on here.
There's been a lot. Wait, where was I going with that? What was I talking about?
Parents.
Oh, yeah. They were 22 when they had me.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So,
That is bizarre.
They were children, and now they're, like, grown up. So, like, the parents that I had are not the same parents that my siblings had. So
wow.
It's just...
That's bizarre.
It's hard sometimes.
I got two friends that are, like, 37, and they're having a kid right now.
Like,
and
their first kid?
Yeah, and everyone's acting like, are they ready? It's like, yo, they're, like, they could be grandparents, right?
Yeah, that's a perfect time.
That's really old to have kids, actually.
I feel like by 30, like, I'm squirting them out. Like,
oh, yeah, I'm
anyone in the vicinity that has, like, good eggs, like, they're
like
getting
you.
My children. Like, anyway, I'm like, 30's like,
your
this
genes?
Is-
Come here. It's like 23 and me. You're, like, looking up the most genetically.
Yeah.
I feel like guys definitely go for, like, they're like, okay, is this girl athletic? Does she have... Guys are a lot more, still genetic gene pool. Like, they pick based off the way girls look.
No way. Yeah. I have people come try to abuse me. They're just like... No, I swear to God, was seeing this girl for a little bit, and she literally said to me, I can't wait to have D1 babies. And I looked at her, and I'm like, do you see me?
Girls do that,
uncoordinated.
Too.
Uncoordinated. Like, if a kid comes out of me, trust me, his eyes are going to be cross-eyed.
The kid's going to come out of you?
I mean...
Like that would hurt. That would hurt.
So
I wish. That'd
only
be great.
Fans.
I mean, yes, OnlyFans.
When did you get on it? What do you do? Are you having sex tapes on there?
Sorry, ASMR. I'm like, no.
No sex tapes?
No sex tapes.
Okay.
Nothing. I've never showed.
A shoulder?
Yeah, nothing. I'm actually wearing a full garb while I'm on there.
Making bread. In the kitchen. On horseback.
Yeah, guys, go check out my swipe up to check out my bread making video.
It's just you reading the Mormon Bible.
The bread is
every
just
morning.
Money. Yeah, I don't know. Some people are into some weird shit. You never know. Mm. But yeah, with OnlyFans, so I posted suggestive content on Instagram for years, like when I first came out to LA. When I got into taking pictures, that wasn't even a thing. Like showing side boob and showing your ass was like, like it was like, oh my God, like that's crazy. I was one of the first people in the social media space to post suggestive content that actually, it was like me and literally like a handful of other girls, like four or five other girls. I specifically remember like Clint. Do you know who Clint is?
Yeah, I'm shooting with him today.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Clint is amazing. So I met Clint 4 or 5 years ago.
Wow.
He's been shooting this type of content for a very long time. Mm. I can't post that stuff on Instagram anymore. Instagram has been going through my shit from like 3 years ago, removing overly sexual posts. I'm like me going like this on the beach.
That's so crazy.
Running
so
in sexual. The ocean.
They like randomly target specific girls for some reason. Yeah. I swear.
My page has been flagged because I promote OnlyFans, so they're very intense with like going through and finding shit.
Yeah.
And it's so crazy. I'm like, this is the whole point of everything. I'm like modeling and taking pictures. Like it's artistic expression. Like I'm not posting sex tapes. I'm not posting overtly sexual content. It's suggestive. Like I think the female form is beautiful.
Yeah.
And I've been taking pictures, me, other girls for years and years, mostly like in tropical places, you know, like suggestive, yeah. whatever. But now I can't. It gets removed every fucking time. So I put all my suggestive stuff on OnlyFans. So I've never showed like anything directly. It's
you wouldn't get your nips out?
No, sir. Not the nip nops. I'm gonna keep those in there. But I put all the behind the scenes of everything that I do. So like BTS of bikini shoots, because I do models still. So anything like that, the talking, I do DJ sets on there, which is
really
fun. Mm-hmm.
Damn.
I go live and just spin for a little bit, like when I'm practicing. So it's just more the personal stuff for a content creator. I believe that OnlyFans is the ideal platform.
Yeah.
When I first heard it was being used for sex tapes, I was like, I'm not going to do this. But then when I got to know more about it, I'm like, it's a platform like anything else. You can choose what you upload. I'm like, I don't have to upload sex tapes. I can upload videos of me talking and this and this. And my real fans will want to come on and pay for the hours of content that I make. Like for years, I didn't do a single brand deal on Instagram until I hit 1 million followers.
That is crazy.
Did not know you can make money from it. I did it because I loved it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So when I like... With OnlyFans, I was like, I spend hours every single day, all day, making content. And I don't get paid for it. I'm never guaranteed shit. When I post on Instagram, when I post on TikTok, I can spend hours making something. And unless I go out of my way to find someone to sponsor it or pay for it, I'm not getting paid.
Yeah.
So OnlyFans is like turning content into a real job where people actually have to pay to consume it. I'm like, this is fucking great. Like everybody else gets paid. You make a movie, you make a series, like you're getting paid for it. Why am I not getting paid for posting every single day for 4 years? Like, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah, that is wild.
So OnlyFans, we love to see it. Wow. You're signed with Unruly, right?
Yeah, I'm with them as well. Yeah, I've been with them for like five or 6 months now.
They're awesome.
Halfway through this year, I think.
Yeah, I got on like a year ago with them, and like Tara and all of them, they're good. Fucking great. So
yeah, I know there's a lot of other agencies that like try and do what they do, but I think Unruly is the best because I'm so scheduled and structured. Like today we have like some crazy weird photo shoot going on, but
crazy weird.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I don't know.
he goes, go check out my OnlyFans if you want to see more.
Some furry content.
Yeah. Yeah. I got a butt plug in, you know. No, I'm joking.
I'm like, what are you posting on your OnlyFans?
Pretty much everything.
Yeah?
Nah, not like, I haven't had that meat out yet, but it's like pretty implied. Like I'll get my cheeks out and stuff. Actually, I did put my cock in a Pringles can.
You heard it here first, guys.
And a pumpkin.
New Pringles flavor.
And a pumpkin for Halloween. I legitimately put my cock in a pumpkin. Because I was like, you know what? Let's just figure this out.
Why not? It's like a glory hole in a pumpkin.
Oh, and I got a whole bunch of bananas on there as well. It was like, you know.
Bananas.
With George in the Jungle. I was eating one, and I had them all over my business.
It takes everything in me not to imitate your accent every single time I talk to you. I don't know why.
You're allowed to.
I'm really bad at Australian accents, though. I can't do them, so I'm just not going to embarrass myself. But, yeah.
No, you're doing amazing.
OnlyFans has changed my life in a great way.
It's the best.
Mm-hmm.
It's real. And it's actually kind of funny like how frowned upon it was before, and now like everyone's doing it. They're just like...
Yeah, I got in it super fucking early, and... Yeah. Everyone was like, don't do it, da da da. But I wanted to be one of those people that normalized it, especially like once Bella jumped on and Tana and all those people. Like, I don't know. I feel like when people are talking like shit or about something or positively, like, regardless, I really try to pay attention to when I hear something repetitively. Yeah. Like in LA, like when you go to like this event over here, this place over here, and you hear everyone, whether it's positive or negative, talking about the same thing, I'm like, Something's going on here.
Something's working.
I'm like, this is like, it doesn't matter. Like, any press is good press. Like, people oftentimes talk a lot of shit about the people. Like, even like Addison, right? Like, people were like just shitting on her, all the TikTok kids. And now they're really fucking successful. Like,
yeah, they're crushing it.
There's that phase where everyone's like, no, and it's happened with everything.
Yeah, that's why I like never wrote off the TikTokers, because I'm like, I saw it with Instagram. People were like, oh, I'm an Instagrammer. It's like, or yep, like, oh, I'm a YouTuber. That's a joke. And I'm like, yeah, now you have a bigger following and more money than most A-list movie stars and bizarre shit. So it's like,
it pissed me off when people on Instagram were like, fuck these TikTok kids, like,
Yeah.
Because I'm like, you literally went through the same shit. I'm like, how could you not?
The TikTokers capitalized it so much better.
So much better. I think whatever the next platform is, like, it's going to be, those kids are going to be so switched on.
I know. I was like kind of annoyed that people from Instagram didn't make that transition into like traditional celebrities. Like,
yeah.
Like, the paparazzi was all over the TikTok kids, but you don't see an Instagram model walking down the street and people are like, oh.
Yeah,
right.
Legit. Like, it doesn't happen. Like, why did that not happen?
I heard one of the reasons why is because TikTokers were like the only famous people going out during that period of COVID.
Right.
And they were like, oh, we just got to start snapping everybody, which made them bigger stars
than what they
could be. I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, TikTok too is more personality based, which I really liked. With Instagram, I can't tell you how many people I like looked up to, and then I met them and I was like, you don't, I like literally didn't even recognize them in person. I was like, you don't even look remotely the same, like the Photoshop capabilities and whatever. Like with TikTok, like when you see someone, you're like, that's what you get. Like that's what you look like.
Solid.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, social media has been a trip for me. It's like a giant psychology. Like, if I wasn't doing this, like, I would definitely be doing psychology, like studying psychology.
Really?
Yeah. That's what the internet is. It's like split-second judgments of, like, what you look like, how you sound, what your personality is. And
no, it's bizarre.
It's not anything, like, too much deeper than that. Like, people that follow you for a long time, it gets deeper. But it's very intriguing to me. I like figuring it out.
Okay, Charlie Jordan, final thoughts. How does a man sweep you off your feet? Like, how are you, what's like your ideal day? If there's a guy listening that wants to try and like woo a girl like you, how do they do it?
I like trying new things.
Right.
So for me, I love food. I love going on adventures. So the ideal date for me would be taking me to go do something I've never done before, which can be challenging at times, but you know,
well, you've kind of traveled and done a lot of stuff, so it's like...
Yeah, but, like, anything that's, like, I like experiencing other people's favorite things. It's like, take me to your favorite restaurant. Take me to your favorite place to go. Like, it doesn't have to be something that's, like, crazy exciting or crazy expensive. Just different. I like trying new stuff. So if it's a hole-in-the-wall place where you're like, ah, oh, this is my favorite sushi, like, I love that. Anything that you care about, anything that you're passionate about, just taking dedicated time to go spend time with someone else. I'm not picky. I don't have any expectations. Yeah. I just like really like having that quality time. So one-on-one for sure. I'm fucking tired of showing up to hang out with people and
going to
there's
the milk
like
bar.
10 people there. I'm like, and then they just like spend the whole time talking to 10 other people. I'm like, how am I? I'm like, I don't even know you. Like, what the fuck is going on? I'm surprised you didn't ask me. Before this, he's like, is there anything you don't want to talk about? You didn't ask me anything about any of my relationships.
Yeah. I was just like, I know how it is when people are like always ask me about my ex. I'm like, ugh.
But like, it's a lot.
I did see some of your TikToks where you're just like throwing shade at the dating scene in LA.
Mm-hmm.
Do you hate dating here?
It's definitely hard. Like, when people are like, you can't find love in LA. Everyone here has the attention span of a fucking goldfish.
Yeah.
So everyone's always looking for something better.
Yeah.
Like, when you go to a party, you see everyone talking shit about it. I just got thrown under the bus for the party
I saw that. That was wild.
This random girl called me out. She's like, Charlie Jordan was requiring you to show your following count to get into her party, which is like...
And I didn't get in. Fucking hell. It was crazy.
Yeah, sorry.
Under four mil?
But, yes, at my house, just to clarify, I was not asking for people's followers. What I did ask, my security team asked... So I planned this party in 12 hours.
Damn.
Did not think people were going to show up. I was like, this is for the homies for Halloween. No one was having a Halloween party. What happened was my security team said, pull up your phone, and if Charlie follows you, we'll let you in. Because my friends, like, I only follow my friends.
Yeah.
So people just started holding up their phone, like, to show that I followed them. And then other people were like, oh, they're showing following account. So everyone just started holding up their phone with their followers for no fucking reason.
Yeah.
And that pissed me off. And I was standing at the wall. I literally stood up, like, this is like mid Halloween party, in my costume. I had a ski mask on. No one knew it was me because I had a ski mask on. So everyone's like at the gate being like, Charlie invited me. I'm like, I don't even fucking know who you are. This is my private residence. I'm like, why are you showing up to my house thinking that you're gonna get in
that is
when
weird.
I don't know you at all. So I literally stood up and I was like, I don't give a fuck how many followers you have. If I don't know you, you're not getting into my fucking party. And everyone just kept standing there. This girl who posted the video, she's from Atlanta, came into LA for the weekend and thought she was going to show up at my house and get into my party. And I was like, I don't know you. I was like, why do you think I would let you into my house? She proceeded to go on TikTok and make a whole, she just completely lied and said that I asked people to show their follower count. She included James Charles, and it turned into this whole beef where she's like, all your favorite influencers are rude as fuck. I was like, if you're mad that you didn't get into my party, just say it. I'm like, you don't have to start a beef. But I had to address it because I woke up and the TikTok had 1 million likes in one day.
Wow.
I
was like, damn, that's crazy.
Y'all are going to give
this numbers unheard of.
19-year-old girl who doesn't know what she's talking about, you're going to believe her.
Yeah.
So I had to defend myself, which I thought was fucking dumb.
So whack.
But it was I was just laughing it off because that shit was so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was gross. Like, this is what we're talking about on the internet today?
Yeah. this is what's going to ruin your day. Like,
you should,
like not getting into a party.
You should throw a party where you say you have to have a certain amount of followers to get in.
I should do
people
that
are whack enough to show up to that party, then you make fun of all those
people.
Yeah,
just literally film them like, you are here.
Yeah, prank them, yeah.
Yeah, like, you
guys, suck. Sorry. Every time anyone comes to my house, you have to show me your follower count.
Psych, this is the new Squid Game season 2. That's how it starts.
I don't think you even showed up, sir.
I didn't get the invite. If you want to call...
I literally just got Harry's number today.
That's crazy.
Next time though. But that shit, you know, with the dating scene, with people out here, everyone's always looking for the next.
It's very transactional.
Thing. Mm-hmm.
It's bizarre.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm weird. Like, it takes me hanging out with people quite a few times to like feel comfortable. And sometimes when you go on dates, if you're not like super exciting, super like this and this and this, people are just like, will write you off and kind of move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's not how this works. I'm like, you can do that with events and jobs and everything else, but I'm like, I'm not a fucking transaction, right? Like, I'm a person.
Yeah.
So I think that's why it's super frustrating. But yeah, all the shit out here. I'm like, I'm just focusing on myself, trying to grind. And at some point when everyone grows the fuck up, then we can date.
Yeah. Well, that's what I've been doing as well, because dating has been... it's been so toxic as well. Like, I was trying to find someone that wasn't in the scene. I was like talking to someone that was in the scene, and like, legitimately, it's just so taxing on your like mental health and like your energy, because people consume so much of it. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I guess I just give a lot to people, so I'm just like, this is just not going anywhere. Like, this is just not fun, because it's literally me just trying to make like everyone else happy, and I'm like, ugh.
Well, you sacrifice every other corner of your life for social media. So you don't want to feel like you also have to sacrifice your personal life and your relationships. Like, that's the one thing I've been like, I don't want this to be a part of this. Like, I was like, this is the one thing I need to have separate. Like,
And
this last relationship I even had was very hard for me, because I've never been with someone who's also in the limelight like that.
Yeah.
And even to this day, I'm like, shit, like, I open my phone and there's 20 edits I've been tagged in with my ex, and I'm like, how am I supposed to move on when every fucking time I open my phone, like,
no, it's especially the TikTok audience, they make so many crazy edits, I couldn't imagine.
And it's like, kids, be I'm stressful. Like, motherfucker, I'm like, y'all don't realize this literally breaks my heart, like, every single time I open my phone.
Was it tough to end that relationship?
Mm-hmm.
But you guys are still cool though, no?
Yeah, we're friends.
Yeah.
Taylor's great. We genuinely are both just doing super different things, very busy. So, you know, it's hard. Like I was saying, when people want people to be part of each other's worlds, and when you're both going after similar things, it's also very difficult. So,
you guys get competitive a little bit?
It wasn't necessarily competitive. It was just not understanding where the other person was coming from. Like, not taking enough time to, like, when I'm like, oh, I'm tired because I just did this. Or he's like, oh, I'm frustrated because this just happened to me.
Yeah.
Always catching each other on the tail end of other emotions.
Yeah.
Trying to also include a relationship emotion from it. Like, the timing just never worked out. Like, when I wanted to do something, he was tired.
Ugh.
When he was tired, I wanted to do something. And it always just caused a lot of miscommunication. So
damn.
It wasn't even anything specific. That's why I'm like, fuck. Like, I feel like relationships are really about timing and communication. So he's great. Who knows what's going to happen in the future. I still love and support him. And try to be like that with all my exes.
Damn, I wish my exes were like. I've tried. I've come on like podcasts, but I just want all the best of them. Like, I just, if they would need someone to call, like, I'm always here. And they're like, you never text me. I was like, bro, I'm not trying to text you. I'm just trying to say, if you need a friend, I'm here.
I've just been trying to pay attention to people that I actually see in my real life.
Right.
Because way too many times, like, even with Taylor and I, like, I don't feel like I would have seen him or even, like, really met him if it weren't because of social media. And I, like, started realizing that about a lot of the people that I was around. I was like, wait.
So you, like, pulled your circle in a fair bit?
Yes. I'm like, who do I actually see on a daily basis?
Yeah.
Who's actually involved in things that I'm doing or with things that I'm doing? So now I just try to, like, I'm like, I don't know. I was a lot of FaceTiming, a lot of texting other people. And I was like, I can't live my life like this.
Yeah.
It's really hard. Trying to stay in touch with people that you legitimately, like, you may have so much in common personality wise, but on, like, a day to day basis, like, I was like, shit. I was like, I don't even see these people. Like, this is fucking hard. So, right now I do so many different things that there's not too many people that I actually see consistently. Like, do you feel like you see, like in school, right? Like when you went to school, you're like, same people.
Every day.
Every day. That does not happen anymore.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm in bed at 8 p.m. I'm literally a nanny. I'm up at 5 a.m. 5 a.m. every day. 8 p.m. by bed. 5 a.m. Because I don't want to go out. I don't want to do anything. I just want to work and, like, figure my shit out.
That's badass.
You don't go out. So
I legit. Tell me the last time you saw me out. Or saw me post a story out.
2 months ago. Where I guess that was a while ago.
Where was
at
I?
At the little Huddy's house. You had your little puppy and he was biting everyone.
Exactly. I was there for like 5 minutes because I was with Bruce.
Yeah, no, I honestly haven't seen you.
Yeah, like, I'm like...
Oh, wait, no, motherfucker. I saw you at the fire event at the table with Tana.
Oh, shit. Fuck.
Like 2 weeks ago. You.
Yeah, that was... Yeah.
That was the night Logan decided to...
Yeah, push that guy. Yeah, that was. I remember seeing him walk in and he was like lit as fuck. And I hugged him. I was like, I'm going.
Yeah.
And then I almost got hit by a car because I saw one of the other paparazzi that I'm friends with across the street. I was like, oh, I'm going to go see you. I haven't seen you in a minute. And then I almost got hit by a car.
Well, I'm glad you didn't get hit by a car, Harry.
Logan.
Yes.
What is happening there? Are you guys close? Are you guys friends? You guys were seeing each other for a little bit?
We were for a little bit. We were friends way back, like when I first came out to LA. I just always had, I was always in relationships, so, like, he tried to be respectful of that and, like, keep his distance. But when I was single, we started hanging out for a little bit, but same thing, like.
He's in Puerto Rico, so that's
bruh
nearly
is, like,
impossible.
So fucking busy, like, I don't know, because, like, I want to date someone that's successful, and guys say that they want a successful girl, but then when they get them, don't know what the fuck to do with them.
Really?
Like Logan's like, this is so cool, like, every guy I've been with is like, it's so cool you do all these things, but they don't want to be a part of those things with me. They just are like, cool, that's like good thing. For you, like awesome, like you go do your thing over there. I'm like, God, like when is someone gonna want to be a part of my things? Like I will go, like even when I was hanging out with, you know, any of the guys, whatever, they get into boxing or they like come work out with me, come do this with me, and like I'll get to know their friends so well. Like I become friends with all of their friends, become friends with their family. And it just has not happened, like, in the reverse way. I'm like...
You give so much.
Yeah, like, I will just give and give my personal time, whatever, like, sacrifice. Because I'm really good at separating work and personal. Like, I don't drag people to work things that I'm doing. I'm like, I get my shit done.
Yeah.
And then I have my personal time with that person. And guys, specifically... And I've noticed it from the time I was young. Like, you know, like, the dads that will come home and not have the time for their kids because, like, I'm tired from work. Yeah. I don't think that should ever fucking be a thing. Yeah. It pissed me the fuck off growing up because my stepdad was always like that. He's like, I don't have time to, you know, tend to your problems because I'm busy with my shit. Like, when people are like, oh, like, and I noticed I was doing it for a little bit. Like, I'd be like, I'm pissed off because of this work thing. And I was like, that's not fair to take out my work shit on
someone else,
my personal friends or my people. So
it's nice separating the two, though. It's like a little, like, safe little haven.
It's also just a practice because it's very easy to get wrapped up in something like that, like work or smoking weed or anything. Like, if you do too much of it, it's not good for you. So some people turn, especially these guys in social media, becomes their whole life. They don't know how to separate it. So I'm like, should I date someone outside the scene? Should I not date someone outside the scene because they don't understand what's going on? Like, I'm just kind of
it's
at a loss
such
right now.
A stressful dynamic because, like, people that aren't in this, like, world don't really understand the amount of, like, energy and effort and time, especially running businesses as well, like all the stuff that goes into it. And then you date someone in the scene and they just, like, post a photo with us, like, do this. There was this one influencer girl that I was seeing last year, And she legit, we're at the end things because she's like, why are you not posting a story with me? I just tagged you on a story. Why are you not posting this?
That's weird.
And I'm like, yeah, you're so weird, bro. Like, we hung out like for 2 weeks. Like, come on. Like, you beat me off one night. Like, what is going on here? Like,
I think it's have like 6 months to go public.
Yeah. Well, like, I just think it has to be like, you have to be solid as fuck because as soon as eyes are on you, like, anything you like or comment or do shit on social media, like, if you're not, because I guess like a lot of people in this city aren't very like secure in themselves, like, especially. I know a lot of guys that are like fucking massively like, if they're seeing a girl, they're like try and keep it like secret or like worried about other people. It's like, that's not a healthy relationship. That's your mental. You're just being worried about someone that's better than you. Like, if the girl's with you, they're with you. Relax. But
hey, your team's saying we got to wrap up.
Oh, we got to wrap up.
Oh, really?
Okay.
We had lots of good talks though. Yeah. That was good.
Charlie Jordan, where can people find you?
All right, guys, you can find me on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. I have my two companies, but it's all just Charlie Jordan with an L-Y. You know, I've been doing this shit. I'll still keep doing this shit. But with music, check me out on Spotify. I am going to be releasing my new single in January, as well as going on tour with Cheat Codes, which is really exciting.
Oh, shit.
So I'll be on a tour bus doing the dang thing. Make sure you guys come out to see one of my shows. I have my flyers, my dates, everything on my Instagram. Damn. So check it out.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on. This was great.
Nah, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. If you did enjoy today's episode, make sure you slap a like on it. Leave
subscribe,
a comment.
Subscribe, all that stuff.
5 stars.
You turkey sandwich, little turkey sandwiches?
Yeah, your little turkey sandwiches. And then send Charlie some love. Perfect.
Bye, guys.